Hey there, and welcome to Sentinel Watch, where we look at life from a spiritual perspective. I'm Carlos Machado, and with the NBA Finals just over, the World Cup in full swing, and baseball entering the dog days of summer, today I'm talking about sports with my guest, Seth Johnson. He's a Christian Scientist from Falmouth, Maine. Seth, welcome to Sentinel Watch.
Thank you very much, and glad I could join you.
I'm glad you could join us as well. So, my production team tells me that you've already been to one World Cup match in person, and you have some tickets for some other ones. What has that atmosphere been like?
Well, I went to the opening game between the United States and Paraguay in Los Angeles, and it was unbelievable. We actually got there 3 hours before the match. It was a 6 p.m. game. There were also already several thousand people in the stadium as it was the opening match for United States. And as things got closer to the match, the stadium filled, or I think 80,000 in the stadium. And they did a lot. They represented all the countries that were in the World Cup because it was the United States opening game. So they had the flag ceremony and all. It was, the pageantry was unbelievable. I can see why the tickets are so high, because they put so much into a game. It was quite a scene, really. You know, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and I've been connected with soccer in many ways for a long time. So it's just like, here it is. We better take part. So, yeah.
Well, I can tell you, watching it on TV, it's just been amazing watching so many nations rooting for their teams, and the pageantry, like you mentioned, just comes through even on the screen. So I can't imagine what that's like in person. Can I ask you, Seth, what the game itself was like? I want to picture myself in it through your eyes, if I can, for just a moment.
Yeah, the first thing that comes to mind, it was just real high energy, just real full-out effort on the part of both teams. There was a high level of execution. And, you know, the ball being passed and moved around, and it's just, you know, soccer is called the beautiful game, as you know, and it was a real high level of that. And also the real appreciation by the fans of the quality of the play, and everybody appreciating. I think one of the nice parts about the World Cup, it's a very unifying event. And so the sportsmanship was high, and there was just a real positive energy.
It seems like a lot of spiritual qualities being expressed in what you're describing.
Yes.
I want to get into our topic today. So you wrote an article. It is published in the January 2026 issue of the Christian Science Journal. So we'll link to it in the description for the show. But you have some really interesting perspectives on sports as a Christian Scientist that I think took sports to me beyond just good sportsmanship and how to, you know, look at sports in a way that's progressive, in a way that's healthy, really to kind of the level of sports as a part of your spiritual journey itself. And I'm going to quote you here, if you don't mind, but there's one line right at the beginning that really caught my attention. And you said, "I learned that sports were more about spiritual growth and learning to be God-centered than prowess." I'm wondering if you can elaborate on that a little bit. Like, what's your background that's brought you to that perspective?
I was raised in a family where athletics were very important. My dad played professional baseball for a while, and there was a real focus in our upbringing in a Christian Science home on athletics, or really whatever you're doing. The purpose is to learn more about God and learn to glorify God in what you're doing, as opposed to it just being, you know, trying to be the best player necessarily. Not that you didn't strive to really achieve, but we were taught really to go a little deeper to gain a spiritual perspective. And one of the quotes I've used from the Bible is, "Whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." And there's another phrase I liked, and I would use these ideas often before a game that I was playing. The quote, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." And your focus while you're playing a vigorous game of soccer or whatever the activity, there was a very deep spiritual component to what you were doing.
I wonder if you can dig a little more into that, because I find that so interesting in that for most people, I think that a spiritual approach is really something you do that is dedicated, separate from the other things that you do in life, right? Like you have work, you may have sports, you may have some hobbies, and then you go to church and you have sort of a spiritual practice. But maybe paint a picture for us. What does that look like for you? What does playing soccer and then having that be a part of your spiritual journey mean to you?
Yeah. Well, I mentioned in the article the importance of preparation when you're going into athletic activity, really working closely with things from the Bible and science and health that would help inspire your thought and keep your thought focused on what your real purpose is in doing this and your motives for playing. You know, you're obviously in a competitive environment and how we deal with that because there's such a tendency for people to think that one is better than the other, other than just everyone doing their best and bringing out the best. And then it was an opportunity for sharing Christian Science. I mean, in the natural flow of things, as a young Christian Scientist playing athletics, there were opportunities to share things with your teammates. And
can you think of one of those opportunities?
Yeah, I'm thinking about an experience I had with a friend of mine. We were in college and we were after practice doing some extra training, and he was the goalkeeper on our team, and I was taking some shots on him. I was working on my shooting and he was working on some particular saves, and on one of the saves he went back and fell and separated his shoulder. And this, he knew I was a Christian Scientist. He needed some immediate help. And, you know, I asked him if he wanted me to help him and pray, and he said, yep. And so within a few minutes, he was able to get up, and we worked our way back up to the locker room, and he's verified that healing. But it was a real opportunity to really feel God's presence and power right there, because it was, he was very uncomfortable and, you know, was looking for some help. And so that was an opportunity really to share Christian Science and for not only me, but for him to see it work. And we're still friends today. And to this day, he's like, yep, it happened. So there's a real nice connection there with him, not only as a friend, but you know, that with the Christian Science healing.
So did he acknowledge that, you know, to him, was this something that he saw as a direct connection to your prayer?
Yes. Yeah. And he really acknowledged and still would today. And I didn't really say too much to him. I just was quiet and working to acknowledge God's presence and power, and what we were seeing there was not what was true about him. And so, well, I wouldn't say I wore Christian Science on my sleeve, so to speak, especially in those college years. You know, there's a real exchange of ideas so I had lots of opportunities to share Christian Science with teammates and with friends. And so when that incident happened, it was natural, really, to turn to Christian Science. So it wasn't like anything abnormal at all. They'd seen me on a regular basis applying Christian Science, sharing ideas, even like, you know, how to prepare for a game and, you know, just taking a moment to pray before a game to put things in their proper perspective and then go out and do your best.
Yeah, for me, that definitely elevates the purpose of participating in a sport. And it brings up something else that I remember from your article. You said that you found that the key to excelling and enjoying sports from a spiritual perspective included, among other things, a proper competitive attitude. And I'm wondering if you can get into what you found is that proper competitive attitude.
So with your primary purpose in playing is to express God, to glorify God, it eliminated a lot of the fear fear of your opponent, fear of getting hurt, and just playing freely, being at your best. It was an opportunity, really, to express God. I mean, you know, if you're shooting on goal, you're expressing accuracy. You're expressing God's quality of accuracy, especially when we're watching World Cup games like now, the rhythm of the game, the beauty of the game. And so you're really focused on those things versus beating someone else, you know, and not that you don't want to win in a particular event, but it's really an opportunity to bear witness to God's presence and God's qualities that are being expressed, you know, whether someone's a Christian Scientist or not. I mean, you see the qualities being expressed when you're watching a game.
So as you're practicing this spiritual perspective and this spiritual approach to playing soccer, were there ever any experiences where you experienced some sort of healing, either practicing or in your preparation or playing a match?
Yes. I mean, one of the things, as you asked that question, is that obviously Christian Science is very much preventative as well as curative. So I felt like in my years of playing and years of coaching, and I, you know, identifying what the true nature of the sport is, that there were very few injuries that occurred as a result. However, there was one time where I was really struggling with my knees. So I called a Christian Science practitioner who I would tend to call if I wasn't making the kind of progress I thought I should be. And over a period of a week or so, we worked closely together and eventually had the freedom, had the healing, and was able to continue on.
So when you're saying that you worked with this and you called a Christian Science practitioner and you're working together, what's actually happening there for those who may not have that context?
In most cases, there were some specific passages from the Bible and or science and health to work with. The Christian Science practitioner is praying for you from the perspective that you're God's perfect idea. You're not an injured mortal. That man is spiritual, not material. And that the activities we're involved with are an opportunity to express and experience God's power and presence right where we are as spiritual ideas. And that's the freedom we need to gain. I would generally check in with the practitioner each day until the healing was complete. Since that healing, I have not had any further issues with my knees. You know, it was a successful or good healing.
Yeah, that's a real demonstration of God's protection there.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, you know, from my own experience with sports and as a fan watching, that's one of the biggest fears out there, right? That when there is injury, that can be the end of somebody's career in the sport. But I mean, that seems like as complete of a turnaround as it can get.
Yes. Yep.
It's wonderful. Seth, you mentioned the preventative aspect of your prayer and how you credit that to not having a lot of injuries in your career. Can you talk a little bit about that? What does that involve for you?
Well, I think when you're involved in sports, there is an awful lot of focus on injuries. And so it gives you an opportunity to counter that belief that part of sports is injuries. And, you know, Christian Science teaches us anything that presents itself as accident or injury, we work to know that that's just not what's true. But that we counter that God's presence is there. And I think that's something I thought about and have done my best to affirm, that injuries are not a part of the game. They're just not a part of God's activity.
Yeah, so you're addressing this belief in injury ahead of time as it comes up in just the general beliefs about the sport, and bringing that spiritual perspective and establishing God's order and health to prevent the manifestation of that belief.
Yes. Barry Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science, says that accidents are unknown to God. And so when an injury seems to occur, the opportunity to take part in addressing that's not what's really true. That's not part of God's activity.
Yeah, and it seems to me that if you are establishing for yourself the fact that we learn in Christian Science that we are spiritual, we're not like physical beings trying to spiritualize a physical practice, but that we are spiritual inherently as God's expression, that's your exemption from injury, that you can't injure spirit. And so, of course, the expression of that is exempt as well.
Yes. I mean, we know God fills all space. So yeah. If that's the case, then there's no room for injury. It's not a part of the game.
You also coached.
Yes.
For many years. Was this something that you talked to your players about? Is this something that came up in your conversations with them? Or
I identified these players just as I would anyone, as God's child. And the sport was the vehicle with which to express all this goodness. I see sports as a great opportunity to develop character. That's the and the intrinsic nature of things. The extrinsic are all the fanfare and all the big stuff that come along with it, but the intrinsic things are what someone's actually learning, what they're learning, and really spiritually, what they're learning in terms of developing their confidence and their poise and their freedom. Sports requires a lot of different qualities that we understand come from God. So you would bring that out and emphasize those things.
Yeah.
One of the statements in Science and Health is God made men free. So if you're participating or coaching, if you're doing it from a perspective of being free, free of all the things that might try to pull you down, free of fear, free to express God, then you'll find that your performance, you know, in any endeavor, if your performance is free, you'll perform better. So whether as a player or coach, you try to bring that out in your players. In other words, you would literally say to players, play freely. Mm. So I found that to be helpful for the players to actually, you know, feel like there are always certain responsibilities and things a player needs to do on the field relative to their position and things like that. But the freedom to express themselves fully and express God's presence and allness can really help elevate a player's performance. And it's more fun, too. It's a lot more fun to play freely. I mean, to do anything. It's a lot more fun if you're feeling free. And that's what God gave us. And so we have the opportunity in athletics to express that and to bring it out.
I'm really walking away with a view of sports that is about so much more, that is, it's about expressing gifts from God. And I think I'll be watching a little bit differently as this World Cup develops. Seth Johnson is a Christian Scientist from Falmouth, Maine. Seth, thank you so much for joining us on Sentinel Watch, and all the best on the rest of your World Cup experience.
Thank you very much for having me on.
It's been a pleasure. And now we're going to turn to a good friend and somebody who's a veteran on the show, Tony Lobel, who's joining us here in the studio in Boston, Massachusetts. But I know he's a bit of a fan of a different team across the pond. Tony, welcome back to Sentinel Watch.
Hi, yeah, well, it's great to be there and listening to you and Seth chatting about the beautiful game, as he said.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that conversation. We wanted to bring you in because I know you also have some great stories of how you've applied your spiritual practice to sports. I'd love to talk to you specifically about something I've struggled with sometimes, which is the sense of tribalism that can get into sports. I played sports growing up. I am a big sports fan. There's certain teams I'd like to follow. But I've really dealt with some negative issues of the culture of that. And sometimes haven't really known how to deal with it well or how to approach it from a spiritual perspective to the point where, you know, I've wondered, should I check my phone to see how my team did last night? Because maybe I don't want to run into some of the tweets that have been said about them or, you know, things like that that can just feel so negative and can feel like they just work to divide people, which is not what I'm looking for in sports anyway. Is that something that you've dealt with?
Yeah, I think actually in the UK, we've seen great progress the decades I've been a sports fan, where I actually literally saw fights in the football mm-hmm. stadium when I first started going to soccer matches, as we say in America. And that's been regulated to a great degree, which is fantastic. But it does throw a light on that sense you're saying, that there is this tribalism there. You know, I've had to think about that and pray about that myself, because I love it when my team wins.
Yeah, who doesn't?
Yeah, exactly. And I also love a good game.
Yeah.
So I think back about a particular game I wasn't at, which I read about in the newspaper the next day, which had what you could say is a person breaking through that tribalism on a pitch, where he shot the ball into the goal and the ball bounced back out of the goal and the referee blew his whistle to give him a goal. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't a goal, because it had actually gone outside the net and hit the metal stanchion behind the goal and come out. And this soccer player actually told the referee that he had not scored a goal.
Oh, wow.
And that moment of sportsmanship literally is the most strong memory I have of soccer in my formative years. You know, and my team won competitions, scored great goals, you know, wonderful games. But that quality of goodness, overcoming that tribal instinct of we've just got to win, is literally the strongest memory I have from that time of watching soccer. And inherent in every sports fan as a child of God, which is how we can see every individual who's here in America, Mexico, and Canada, in person or watching the games all around the world, inherent in each one is that love of good, that love of those qualities that really do unite us rather than separate us. And I do think, whether we're fans of soccer or not, this is a big occasion, and we can really be a prayer team for the World Cup and other big competitions that are going on, like you mentioned, the baseballs getting further down the line in the US, and there's a Super Bowl every year, all these big competitions. We can be the witnesses of that inherent goodness in sports fans and players, and expect to see that increasingly dominate. And then we can love what our team does and love if they win without feeling tribal. It's just a lovely way to come together in the unity of the love of the game and enjoy the perks of maybe winning every once in a while as well.
Yeah, no, that really gets back to what Seth was talking about, that sports really can be an opportunity to further our spiritual practice and to see God in action. So in speaking of some of the negative aspects of sports that sometimes I have to deal with, my wife, Maddie, one of her favorite things to watch on YouTube, and she's not a big sports fan, but she could spend hours watching soccer players faking injuries.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Yeah.
There are compilations of this on YouTube, and she just has a blast with that. But, you know, those sorts of things do happen in sports. And I'm wondering, you know, as we're watching not just the fandom and praying about that, but as we're watching our teams and we see some of these negative aspects of what has seeped into sport happen, how can we approach those things that we see during a match?
Yeah, I love that you're asking that question, because I've really had to learn about how we pray for our teams. Because obviously the temptation is just to pray for victory. I want my team to win. But in Christian Science, we would understand that's not a legitimate prayer. It's like telling God how to make things happen here on planet Earth in ways that are favorable to us personally. That's just not how prayer works. But what I think we can do is, like, you know, for every event I'm involved in, when I'm going to do them, I'm praying just to know that there's no obstruction to me doing the best I can do as someone called to fill a particular office at a particular time. Mm. And I've found that I've been praying that way for my teams, whether it's my the football team I support in England or whether it's the England team at the World Cup. And it's like I can just pray to cherish that everyone's best qualities and skills can be seen, you know, and not interfered with by ego or by anger or by frustration or all these other qualities who would try to come in. I'm not trying to change anyone else's way of thinking or behaving, but I'm just cherishing my right to see the best in all the individuals. And the best would be including not faking, not faking a dive, you know, not horribly fouling other people, all the other right. things that come out. And I feel those kind of prayers can embrace the game. The one interesting thing about it is kind of hard to do that just for your own team. If you're praying that way, you kind of have to expect that for everyone on the pitch and the referees, and because you're just bearing witness to the true nature of man, the spiritual reality of each and every one of us, and expecting that to be what comes out the most rather than the false sense of what we are, which is so self-centered. And so, you know, let's all pray. And we do see wonderful things happening on sports fields and pitches and match games and everything. And why shouldn't the good, you know, override the other?
Yeah. And I mean, I love you acknowledging that that is hard. And I I very much acknowledge that it's a difficult thing to not just want to pray for your team, because like you said, part of sport is seeing your team win and the excitement that, that comes from that. But yeah. I also just love how this truly brings sports into the realm of our spiritual practice. It brings it into our relationship with God. And in some ways, what I'm thinking about is that it makes us even more of a participant
right.
in the game.
Yeah.
Because so often it seems like, you know, what we're there to do is just, you know, yell one way or another.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you about one experience which I think really captures that. I'm not, like Seth, a great player. I've never been a coach, but I used to love playing soccer like many kids do when I was at school. Mm. And there was this one game where I was playing in a kind of defense role, watching the game from afar for much of the time because it was happening on the other end of the field. But there were these two guys playing and getting really more friction between them because the one who was defending was kind of taking out the one who was attacking and stopping him playing. And he was getting very frustrated with that. And it was kind of getting to that boiling point where it seemed like it might boil over into a fight on the field. And from my point of view, far away on the field, I just started praying and thinking about the game I was watching. And I what came to me was some beautiful words from a poem by Mary Baker Eddy that just said, "Seek holy thoughts and heavenly strain that make men one in love remain." And I've been seeing this strain between the players, and I thought, wow, a holy and heavenly strain, that's always going to be harmonious. And then I did see just more clearly the unity of all of us in our relationship to God, in our oneness with God.
Can I ask you, sorry to interrupt, but when you say that you saw this harmony,
yeah,
can you give us a glimpse of what you're talking about there? Because you know, you're seeing people literally about to get into a fight. So yeah. When you're saying you're seeing this harmony, what are you seeing?
Yeah, no, it's a really good question. I was pretty new to Christian Science at that time, but through my study of Christian Science, I'd learned that there's this spiritual reality that we're all part of and that the study of Christian Science helps us become more conscious of. Mm-hmm. And it's the idea that God is spirit, is all harmonious, and that's all God knows. And as we begin to understand God better and our relationship to God, we realize that our true consciousness as God's creation only is conscious of harmony, a universal harmony, an all-embracing, all-inclusive harmony. And what I was seeing on the pitch was a tiny glimpse that that was the reality, the truth, where this friction seemed to be increasing. And it was a wonderful sense of clarity that actually, yes, the truth of harmony is more substantial than what I'm seeing taking place. And lo and behold, there was a change. And very shortly afterwards, these two guys actually started laughing together and joking together.
Really?
It was really a turnaround, as if they suddenly realized actually they're the greatest pals in the world. it's just one of those experiences that I've had where that willingness to see things from a different perspective actually changes what's happening. And I've often prayed this way in conflicts, all sorts of conflicts, but that was one that was definitely on the soccer field and definitely a benchmark for me, because it was when I was very new in my study of these spiritual ideas that Christian Science brings to us.
And it seems like even as a new student of Christian Science, you connected that back to the seeing, the more spiritual experience that you were having about this. How did you feel sure that your praying about it had something to do with this?
Well, what I love about prayer is you get this sense of clarity of what's true, and that that truth has the authority over those things that are going on which can't be related back to God because they don't express God's nature. And you feel that conviction that you are going to see the evidence of that truth take place in practice. And so I totally understand, you know, people maybe being skeptical and saying, well, maybe it's just a coincidence. But when you start having so many coincidences in your life, you begin to feel it's a rule and a law and a truth rather than just a happenstance. But either way, I was just happy that I found my peace about it. And I was happy that they found that sense of harmony coming to light in their experience.
I think that's just an important point, because I feel like I too, when I was a new student of Christian Science, it was a different feeling that I was finding when I was praying through something and finding a spiritual answer. And it was something that was palpable. It didn't feel like a hope of something getting better, but it was something real that I was working with.
Yeah, that's great. Well, a Christian Science is also known as the law of God, the law of good. And when you think of it in those terms, if you're becoming conscious of that good, you are really bringing to light that law. And that law of good is operating in that experience you're in. And it does bring the fruits of harmony and goodness out in very tangible ways.
Tony, before I let you go, how are you enjoying this World Cup so far?
So I'm loving the football I'm seeing, but I just want to tell you, Seth shared his first experience of the World Cup, and it was right there at the heart of what was happening.
Yeah.
My first experience of the World Cup was being on a train from New York back to Boston, full of Scottish fans on the way to their first game. And
I can't
tell you how wonderful that was, just seeing all these fans. One of the interesting things was all the men, literally, well, maybe not literally, but most of the men were wearing kilts. And I've been to Scotland several times, and I saw more Scottish men wearing kilts on that train than I've seen in all my accumulated trip to Scotland. The atmosphere was amazing. And of course, they went on to win their first game, which I'm sure brought much joy to their hearts. But that's one of the things I love about the World Cup, and that I think we can support, is just literally the world coming together around this sport and mixing and mingling, in this case, in three countries, Mexico, Canada, and the USA. And when it goes as it should, the spirit of it is fantastic. And I think our prayers can support that spirit being what we see at this World Cup.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to just watching more and just celebrating the spirit of the world coming together for good and just the joy that I've seen expressed so far.
Amen. Tony,
thank you so much for joining us here again. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
It's been a pleasure being here. Thanks to you and to Seth. And I love being a part of this program. It's been a special joy.
Tony Lobel is a Christian Science practitioner joining us here in the studio in Boston, Massachusetts. And by the way, the Christian Science Sentinel magazine has prepared a special World Cup issue for you. You can find the link in our show notes on the website for this episode, or look for it in your mailbox or a local Christian Science reading room. You might also enjoy checking out our online sports and prayer collection. We'll add the link to that as well. Sentinel Watch is a production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm Carlos Machado, part of the production team for our podcast, along with Sophie Ungerleiter and our executive producer, Amy Richmond. Our production assistant is Natasha Telshow. Our editor is Lisa Rennie-Seitzma. Our audio engineers are Tim Malone, Noel Flatt, Alyssa Britton, and Ian Case. Our theme music is by Jonah Bobo. We'll see you next week.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.